Hello and welcome again to Love and Worship Live. It's not noon. It's 3:30. Thank you guys for being flexible. And for those of you who are joining us, I had even a call or two today just saying, hey, heard about your book, want to know more, told them a little bit, told them about Live, and they said, we're going to join. So thank you guys for joining. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging people to do so. My name's Greg Williams, and we're going to continue this week with Foundations, Authority, and Lordship in Our Lives. So I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to jump right in like I did last week. Because this week, after talking all about foundations and authority and lordship, we're going to specifically focus on the lordship of Christ in our lives. I'm going to make a statement here, and you're going to go, duh. Our world is in chaos. Duh. Told you, right? But honestly, it has been since the angel of God closed the gates on the Garden of Eden. Actually, since Adam and Eve took the bite of the forbidden fruit and then ran and hid with fig leaves on their private parts and hid behind branches to try and hide from God. We've been in chaos. The issue then, as it is now, and I've asked this before, but we're going to focus specifically on the lordship of Christ. Who is your Lord? That's what Adam and Eve had to grapple with, and that's what the serpent said. You don't need a Lord. You can eat that fruit and be your own. If Christ is Lord, which is your choice in loving obedience, John 14:15, then there's nothing in this world to fear. Remember, we're in chaos, right? We don't have to fear. Even if they take my life, I know where I'm going. I know who I'm with. If he is not truly Lord, however, of your life, then the only other option is Satan. He actually always disguises this as self as Lord. Check out Genesis 3, 4, and 5. And by the way, I have all the scripture text linked in the full article on www.loveandlordship.com. You can check that out. Go look at the scriptures and everything. You see, when Satan is Lord, you have everything to fear. So I'll ask you this. Are you fearful about what's going on in our world today? Let me ask you another question. Who or what do you put your trust in? King Hezekiah had a similar situation in the Old Testament when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, say that three times fast. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against Israel. King Hezekiah reminded God's people to be strong and courageous because despite all the hordes of the armies that they could see, they were just an army of flesh. They could see them. But the Lord our God, Hezekiah said, fights our battles. Check out 2 Chronicles 32, and in particular verses 7 and 8 there, where Hezekiah encourages them while they're looking at those hordes of an army from Assyria. Guess who won? I'll let you go read that. So, all those who are God's people, those who truly know and walk with Christ as Lord, fear not. Remember last week, I think I told you 365 times in the Bible? So you can read something every day, or you can tell yourself every day from the Word, living, true Word of God, that you don't have to fear. No matter what we face, God is on our side. If He is your Lord, you can always trust in Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, again, check it out. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You can trust in Him. Now, that doesn't mean you get all you want. It means you begin to have desires that align with His. And that's incredible. I can tell you, I'm still learning that. Okay? Isaiah, another Old Testament person, prophet actually, probably the greatest of all the prophets, as most people would consider, in chapter 51, 12, and 16, says it this way about not fearing and about being courageous. This is the Lord talking through Isaiah, I myself am He who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a mortal man and of a son of man who is like the grass, and that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor, as he makes ready to destroy? He can make ready to destroy all he wants. Who are what your trust in? And where is the rage of the oppressor? Simplified, no matter what you face, you don't have to fear man. Whatever is your foundation, and whoever is your Lord, determines what you will fear, this world or him. Your choice. How many times have I said that over the last few weeks? He didn't force this on you, but there is consequences to your choices. What does it mean then for Christ to be the author of our life and our salvation? What does it mean for him to be the Lord of every part of our life? Well, it simply means this, that as the author, he has all authority. His word is truth, and we apply it to every thought, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, take every thought captive. Motive, Psalm 51:10, when David was caught in adultery, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. He was literally talking about his very motives. Make sure that they're in line with you. And then again, in Psalm 139, 1 through 4 and 23 and 24, he talks about, he says, God, search me out. You know me better than I know myself. So search my heart and see if there be any wicked or offensive way or anything against you. And lead me in the way everlasting. How do you do that? By surrendering your heart to God's way. Every, as I said, thought, motive, your responses, and your conversations, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks. The hope that lies in you, your responses and conversations belong to the Lord, if he's Lord. And in every relationship and action, Luke 14:25 through 35, and we're going to cover our discipleship response. If he's Lord, it means we act a certain way, speak a certain way, love a certain way as his disciples. And our response is required, again, because he will not force us to be his disciples. His word is crystal clear as to what it means for him to be Lord and to be the authority in our lives. How are you responding? You see, when Christ is Lord, authority, the foundation, then we can know for certain, don't miss this, we can know for certain that our hope, peace, joy, contentment, righteousness, holiness, our fulfillment is found in him. Apart from him, we will continue to search for meaning, purpose, success, and fulfillment in others and in other things of this world, and they will continue to fall short, and we will continue to be frustrated. I don't know if you've been there or you're there right now, but I have, and I can tell you, I don't get frustrated. Okay, pardon. I get frustrated from time to time. Just come and talk to me about the process of this book and Amazon, but I let it go. I can't control it, so I trust God to work it. Because he's my peace. He's my joy. He's my fulfillment. Why is that? Because we have put our faith in things that cannot satisfy and have failed to see him as the all-sufficient Savior and Lord. Christ as Lord is my righteousness. And by his grace, I'm already made worthy, righteous, good. Not by what I've done, but by what he did. I do not need to prove my worth to anyone because it's already secure in him. I can say with Paul that no matter what I face, good, bad, or ugly, ooh, that would be a good title for a movie, wouldn't it? Okay, for those of you who didn't get that, Clint Eastwood was in a movie, I think 1967, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, okay? So anyway, just make sure you got that. But good, bad, or ugly, no matter what I face, nothing can deter or take away from the testimony of his lordship and his presence in my life. Check out Paul talking about that in 2 Corinthians 6:3 through 10. The testimony of Christ and his lordship in and through and over our lives. To know him as Lord means we can truly say that the life that we live, that I live, that you live, is Christ in us. Galatians 2:20. So I'm going to ask again, what is your joy? Your peace? Your hope? Your endurance? Yes, I did say endurance. You're going to need that. What is your assurance? Your strength, your fulfillment, your humility, your righteousness? What truth do you stand on? And what is your love? If you are seeking any of these apart from Christ as Savior and Lord, they will be fleeting at best, and frustrating, deceptive, and destructive at worst. You get to choose, but I can tell you how they're going to turn out, because I've been there. I can also tell you the flip side of that. We only find any or all of these in reality when we look to Christ, when we surrender to him. All that we are and all that we have is in Christ, and our help comes from him. So the psalmist said in Psalm 121, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the hills. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of the hills. I can look at him and go, wow, how majestic. I want to know who made those, and I can't. Alive in Christ, we live like it as his instruments of righteousness. We need his righteousness in us so others can see him through us. Romans 6, 11 through 13, Paul talks about that. As we focus on Christ's lordship, his authority in our lives, and the foundation of his truth as our guide, let's consider something that makes all the difference in the world, not only for us, but what others see in us. His faithfulness that flows from his truth and why we can count on him as Lord. You see, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even when we are unfaithful, he cannot be untrue to himself. He has to be faithful to himself and to us. That truth is both extremely encouraging and very daunting. Let me explain. Here's the reality. No matter what we're facing, we can trust in God through Christ and the Holy Spirit to be faithful to his word of truth and to our circumstances. Well, wait a minute. Sometimes my circumstances aren't all that good. Matter of fact, sometimes my circumstances are a direct result of my stupid choices. He's still faithful. I'm going to show you why. From Scripture. His faithful response, then, is always right and good, not based on my whims or feelings or desires, but on his absolute truth and love that I can count on. Now, that's reassuring. And I pray that you find it so in every area of your life and relationships. Let me show you what Scripture says about this to remind you of his great faithfulness and choose then to walk by grace in faith with him as Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1, 4-9, Paul said this, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him. You have everything you need in all speech, in all knowledge, just as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. Faithfulness, right? So that you are not lacking in any gift. As you eagerly await, and I want you to listen to this at the end of this text, eagerly await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. And who is that? Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't say anything about Savior there. He has to save you for him to be Lord, but when he saves you, he has to be Lord. So what does it mean then for God to be faithful in all things and for us to trust in him in all things? Two things in particular, actually they're fairly general, but they can be applied particularly, that will help us as we walk in faith. Number one, this one's easy, and we all love this part of his faithfulness, okay? He will bring the fruit of eternal life here and now to those who sow in his Spirit and his word. You can have that peace, joy, contentment, fulfillment, all of the love, all of those things right now in him when you sow in that, in his Spirit. Thanks for blessing me and for being so faithful when I'm faithful. We love that, don't we? And we should. That's an easy one. God, I'm striving to seek you and to know you, and you've blessed me in so many ways. Thank you. He's faithful. The second one's not so easy. God will always respond according to his word of truth because he knows it is right, good, and best, even when I don't like it. This means that when I sow in the flesh, prideful, sinful self, he must be faithful to allow the destruction, the chaos, and the turmoil that comes with it. Did you catch that? Just like when he said, you sow in the Spirit, I'm going to give you things of eternal life right now. But if you choose to sow in the flesh, I'm going to have to let you see the destruction and the chaos and the turmoil that comes with that. He's faithful. This is hard for folks in modern day Christianity, and I suspect for Christians of all eras and all of history, to deal with, but it is nonetheless true because it is his very word, and he has to be faithful to it. That's what he says when in 2 Timothy 2:13 when he says, even when you're unfaithful, I have to be, even when you choose the flesh, I have to give you what you sow. But that proves to me that he's God and that he is faithful. He does it because he loves us, and he knows that when people just spout truth and righteousness to someone who's willfully walking or sowing in the flesh, it likely leads or creates even more rebellion. So what does he do as a faithful God? When we are confronted by the fruit of our own choices and sinful sowing, according to his very word and his being faithful, there exists a great opportunity to see our own sin and turn to him. You see why he's faithful? Even when we're not? Even when I choose to go, no, Lord, I don't think I want to sow in the Spirit today. I'm going to sow in my own flesh and do what I want to do. You know what? He'll show up and go, that's fine, but I'm going to show you what that looks like. Because I love you enough to show you that. I'm not going to browbeat you. I'm not going to do anything else. You might have a punishment because of the consequences. And you know, you will end up knowing if you look to me that I love you and allow that to happen. But I have to be faithful to my word. And you can count on that. He is always loving and faithful. Always in all circumstances and in every response that he gives us. And in the fruit that comes through our lives by our own choices to either walk with him or apart from him. That's the law of the harvest, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And he's faithful in both cases. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. There are many scriptures that both proclaim, number one, Christ is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, creator of the universe, and as Lord of my life. We must see him not simply as Lord of all creation, but we must make it personal. You see, it's sort of abstract for us to go, oh, I believe in you and I love you, God. Look what you've created. But then to go, wait a minute, if you're Lord and creator of all of this, why am I not walking in that? Why have I not made it personal in my conversations, my motives, my actions, my relationships, everything about my life? Got to make it personal. The Holy Spirit heavily impressed this upon my heart, these two simple but profound verses, and I told you we would get back to one of these, that speak to what it means for Christ to be Lord of every part of my life. Hear the emphasis as I read these. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He's faithful, but he's telling us how we do that. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And then 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5, which I alluded to earlier as well. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Notice that it doesn't say, trust in the Lord with the parts of your heart that are heavy or the thoughts that you're uncertain about. Nor does it say that we destroy some of the arrogant thinking and prideful thoughts. We are to trust him with all our heart, acknowledge him in every thought we have and in every way that we consider, not just when we doubt or struggle or are unsure. Today, listen to this carefully. Make him Lord of every single part of your life, your thoughts, your motives, your activities, your relationships, your dreams. When you struggle and when you succeed. When you hurt, when you rejoice. When you question and when you're sure. See, because I don't really know I'm sure until I go to him. When you're angry and when you're grateful, he can handle it all and will direct your paths and align your thoughts in line with his truth. Let me give you five action items again, and you're going to find that I repeat at least one of these almost every week. You know why? It's that important. And it's number one, choose to spend time with God in his word and in prayer every day. That's how you can know him better. That's how you can say you are faithful even when I'm not. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to show you areas of your life that you've not surrendered to him. I'm going to get deeper here. Tough action items, but they're good. Ask him to teach you through the word and your circumstances. Maybe you sowed in the spirit, and the circumstances were great. What about when you sow in the flesh and they're not so great? Ask him to show you and teach you through his word and those circumstances how you can surrender all of your life to Christ. Number four, as you do this, make two lists. One of them, what he's showing you. And number two, the steps it takes to surrender to him. How do I get rid of these things? How do I grow in these things that you want me to grow in and get rid of the things? Cleanse my heart. created me a new heart, as David said. Search my heart and show me anything that's against you. And then five, you're going to need this, and he loves it. He loves it. Ask the Lord to give you strength, and then choose in faithful obedience to follow through. You need help on any of this? Contact us at Love and Lordship, 859-229-6504. I just had a couple people call today. Want to know more about the book? Want to know about live? Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Or you can email me, loveandlordship@gmail.com. Love and Lordship, spell it all out, @gmail.com. No spaces anywhere, okay? Now, I got a mentoring minute here for you. This is a powerful one, man. I was moved literally to tears, as so was this father. A guy that I've mentored for a while and had a Bible study with. And, of course, COVID put that on halt for a while. But we started back up this week. And last week he called me, which is sort of the prompt to do this. He called me on his way home, and he could hardly get the sentences out. He had a lump in his throat, tears in his eyes. And he said, I just need to ask you some things about my daughter, my teen daughter. She's struggling with a lot of things. And I won't go into the details. You'll understand how much it can hurt if you're a parent, if you're a dad, okay? Mom, either one. But he said, she's making some bad decisions, and we're really struggling. It's creating a lot of great pain and stress in our home and in our marriage. And he goes, I feel like there's some things that I'm missing and done. And I very simply, here's my response. And then watch what happens. Three-pronged response. Number one, show her that you love her and that you will be there for her no matter what goes on. But in doing so, you will point out when she is walking apart from God's truth. You're there, you're loving on her, you're hugging her, you're encouraging her, but you also are telling her when she's walking apart from God's truth. You know why that's love? Because if she continues walking there, she's heading toward destruction. Do you think it's loving not to confront her and let her head down that path? Not at all, not according to God's truth and what he does with us. And by the way, that second part, making sure that you share that truth with her, that's not very prevalent in many of our churches and certainly not in our culture today. That's a part of God's love that's missing, which is why we're in the chaos that we're in today, even in many of our churches. Number two, intentionally connect with her. Spend some specific time with her each day. Schedule some date nights, which he did and has already gone out this week with her. And then have regular conversations with her. Connect with her intentionally. Number three, find an older woman to mentor her that she respects, an older woman that she respects to mentor her that you know will reinforce God's principles. He started that very night that he got home, and when we had Bible study this week, he shared with me. I was there that night. I went home. We started talking about all this. We were all in tears, and in the midst of the tears and the pain, his daughter ran to him and said, "Are you mad at me?" And he hugged her, and they cried. Mom did too. And then she shared, "No, I'm not mad at you. But I do want you to know why this is going on. And I want you to know that you're making some decisions that are going to destroy you, going to hurt you. But I'm not mad at you. I love you." He set up a date night, as I told you earlier, and went this week. And then listen to this one. He, without the chance, they went to bed that night, feeling a bit better, without the chance to reach out to anyone that night, they woke up the next morning, and almost before anything else happened, the phone rings. And it's a great Christian lady who's a friend of the family and a friend of their daughter, and out of the blue, she calls and says, "I've been thinking about your daughter, and I would like to take her out to lunch or dinner, and I'd like to spend some time with her." And through the tears, he said to her, "You don't know it, but you're an answer to prayer, and we didn't even have to ask you. We simply started by asking God." He shared all of that through the tears. And let me tell you, folks, God is faithful. You can count on him. You just got to reach out to him. He won't force it. He's there for you. Now again, scripture and the quotes and everything are in the full article at www.loveandlordship.com. It's Foundations and Authority, the Lordship of Christ. You see, that's what he wants in our lives, but he won't push that on us. He knows that the only way we do it is if we understand his kind of love, that he came for us, we have to willingly and lovingly choose him. We're going to ask you to continue to pray, okay? this ministry, the Lord is doing some things. I've had five different church groups in the last week or so call me about the possibility of doing some things because they're hearing this message. If you are impacted by this message or you know someone that could be, please share it. Secondly, pray for us. And third, if the Lord lays it on your heart to help us out financially, I've got four different ways you can do it in the comments, or you can go to our website and find one upper corner, give. Okay? Appreciate that. And if not, keep praying until He shows you who to give to. He'll bless that. Okay? Love and Lordship is here to help you live joyfully and have healthy and fulfilling lives and relationships in the love and Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't charge for any of it. We teach, mentor, conferences, retreats. And we do it knowing that God will provide because we're sharing His message and He is impacting lives. Thank you so much for that. If you don't know where to turn, call us. This is a safe place. If your church or group would be interested in a Love and Worship or the Authority of Love, that's the name of our book, conference or retreat or just a class or series or anything like that, please contact me again. The phone number, 859-229-6504 or loveandworship@gmail.com. We desire to make disciples who make disciples in every home and every church in the love and Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers and those who support us. Appreciate that. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ.